Yeah, I think, you know, I've been at Mount Hood for about 10 years, but this is my first year as a full-time faculty. And I'm a person who came through an education in community college before I went on to a graduate degree. And so many times as a faculty member, they're watching the role of humanities in the lives of students to be transformative, help students find their own voice for the first time, and to put that down on paper and start to integrate sometimes very painful aspects of their own stories in empowering ways and back into the fabric of their own consciousness. It's a profound and really almost sacred experience. And I'm a person who really believes in this kind of social artistry aspect of the humanities, that to use it as a conduit for personal empowerment and social transformation, and to be a part of a group of people to be able to bring a level of access like this to the school. My wife Celeste says that our stories are the most important thing we have for each other and to share with each other. And that was my vision for the series, was to provide another conduit for students and then for the larger East County community, an avenue to see some people who are using the humanities to do exactly that.
And I'd just like to add that Lydia is also a huge inspiration in keeping the arts alive and making everybody feel like their writing matters and their art matters and is life-changing. And so just her as a working writer and as a teacher, she's been a huge inspiration.
I hide from her in the hallways. I think she's the best writer in the country.
Hey,
hands down.
Yeah, she's definitely
and so
on the list.
Humble.
Yeah, it's very refreshing. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah, so absolutely an inspiration to her colleagues and her students.
I understand, though, you are writers, too.
Very superb writers, both of them in really different ways. And what they bring to their classroom, what they bring to their students, is what it means to bring writing as a living practice into every sphere of everything you do every day. I'm telling you, every day I'm thankful they're here.
So can you tell us a little bit about the speakers you've chosen for this debut series and why you chose them and what they mean to you?
Well, Willie Vallotton, I've known for a long time before he came out with The Motel Life. So I have kind of a personal love for his writing and just him as a person. And he's one of those writers that when my students hear him, he came and read at the college a couple years ago, and I was teaching a fiction class. Well, I had a student come back the next day, and she had drawn this beautiful piece of artwork that was inspired by The Motel Life, and she had to go home and do it because he gave her that kind of inspiration. And then she started showing me stories that he had inspired. So he's a good person and a great writer. So we're really fortunate to have him coming back.
And he will be there on April 24th, noon to 1, in the Visual Arts Theater on the Gresham campus. Anybody want to say anything else about some of the other speakers?
I'm very excited about all of them. I think a previous speaker that we had was Mark Russell, a local author whose book, God is Disappointed in You, was just a fantastic book. We had a great, great talk, very provocative. The students were very much engaged. As far as upcoming authors, I'm extremely excited about Tom Spanbauer's new book. He is a person that to me did things and does things with language that I still didn't really know were possible. And it's a real treat to have him there. He's I think a national treasure, and we're lucky to have him in town, let alone at the campus. And I'm really excited about Chris Ryan and Kimberly. I think that our writing, embodied writing sexualities, a little mini conference is really going to be a good time in May.
Yeah, when Christopher Ryan's book came out, Sex at Dawn, mm-hmm. that blew my mind and totally got me thinking about my conditioning and mm-hmm. what is natural as a human being versus what is put on us in terms of our sexuality. Very interesting.
Yeah, we hope to blow that set of definitions up in the conference and see what's in there.
And that you bring up an interesting thing with Chris. He also is moving to Portland. I think he'll be here at the end of the month. And my contact with bringing him is through Dr. Stanley Kribner at Saybrook in San Francisco. And Stanley wrote me and he said, hey, I have this kid who I was his PhD dissertation advisor, and you know, you might want to have him at your school. And I got this kid is exactly how he sent the email. And I said, who are you talking about? And he said, Chris Ryan. And I went, oh, yeah, the Sex at Dawn guy. And when we sat on this committee, it really became clear to me that all of us on the committee, through the various things we're involved in, have so many great contacts with so many talented people around the country and around the world that we can leverage to come to the school. They're excited to do it. They're happy to do it. They're happy to come serve the student population. And so, I mean, the possibilities are close to infinite with these kinds of things.
I got to put a plug in real quick for somebody who helped us in our hour of need. When we started the writing series in the fall, we had scheduled Diana Abujaber, who's profoundly important work to me personally, but she got the flu 2 days before her event, and a man named Sean Davis came and pinch hit for us. He has a book coming out called The Wax Bullet War, which everyone should buy when it comes out. And he came and read and brought the house down. And he's a Purple Heart vet who went to college at Mount Hood. And so it was just, it turned into this amazing, you know, composting into something fantastic. And so, yay, Sean, you were awesome.
Sean did that single-handedly. He was phenomenal.
Excellent.
And now maybe a plug for Pam Houston, the wonderful Pam Houston, who's going to be coming here on Monday, March 3rd, noon to 1. Her stories, when I first read, she's one of those writers that I can't believe I actually get to meet her, because she's been a part of my life for so many years. And such humor and keen awareness of human relationships and relationships with the world. So go out and get Contents May Have Shifted. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful
tonight.
Book. Tonight.
Go buy it.
You'll read it in like a night. It's wonderful.
I have to say.
Come to the event and she'll sign it for you.
She inspires me, I must say, like nobody else. Mm-hmm. She's like the female Edward Abbey, but she definitely takes it into new territory with her explorations of men and women and the relationships and the shenanigans. Well, yes, again, Pam Houston is the next person in the series. She'll be at the Mount Hood Community College Gresham campus next Monday, the 3rd at noon, and I'll be there with a friend, and I encourage you guys to come out too. I was just really impressed, again, with the list you put together for your debut season. So kudos to you. It's obvious that you put a lot of thought into this, and it's obvious that you really honor your students to bring this sort of level of talent and inspiration to them. Mm-hmm. Lydia Yuknovich, you've on social media more than once, you have seemed to be just humbled and in awe of the writing of your students. Do you guys want to talk at all about the students you encounter at Mount Hood Community College?
I'm crying. The second you said that, I start crying. Every day I work with them and watch the bravery on the page that they risk putting, you know, their lives and their stories out there, and how hard they try to get better, and what it's worth to them to just stand up and speak a truth or speak a story when a lot of them come from places where their parents maybe didn't go to college or there was some obstacle in the way to standing up and saying, I can do this too, I'm important too. There's no way not to be humbled in the presence of our entire student population. And I've been asked before, you know, what it's like to work at a community college, and people don't really understand. I chose it. I had other options, and I chose it because, like Andy, I went to a community college, and if I hadn't, I wouldn't have been able to get back into the Socius. I'd gotten spit out in life, and I was at the bottom. And community college reflected back to me that I was a person worth a crap. And that's who we're meaning. That's who we do it so that they can get back into life like everybody, and that their stories are as important as Pam Houston's. Mm-hmm. In the end, that the hierarchy is not real. Mm-hmm. And if you enter the flow of storytelling, you're a storyteller. And I think I've stopped crying now, so I'm going to take a rest.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a story of a woman who came to our campus 7 years in a row and drove onto the campus, parked her car, and got out to go walk up to register and start taking classes to do something and make a change for her life, but was intimidated and didn't know who to talk to and got back in her car and left. And finally one day, after 7 years, just walked up and got out of the car and was going to do the same thing, but somebody, facilities person or something, said, "Hey, can I help you?" And began a conversation and got her over to admissions and got her going on a path of education. And what Lydia says about courage, our students, I heard Tom Spanbauer at a reading just recently say that because of his life and his childhood, where he was told that he was supposed to be silent and that he didn't matter and his view of the world didn't matter and his view of himself didn't matter. We have a lot of students who come from that kind of background, and Tom said it well when he said every word that he writes is an act of courage. And to see students lay themselves that raw, that bare, in front of us on a daily basis, trusting us enough to help them take that and turn that into empowerment and help them move forward in their lives. It's, again, I said it before, it's a sacred act. It really is. I could name names if you want. There are dozens. There are student writers. The student readings that we do, this reading series is phenomenal, but we do student readings almost every quarter, and they're absolutely my favorite things, and I say that without a shred of condescension. I mean, they absolutely blow my mind every time.
You're listening to Radio Zine on KBOO. Our guests today in the studio are faculty members from our local Mount Hood Community College. We're joined by Dr. Lydia Yuknovich. I like saying that.
Michelle, so do we.
Michelle Hampton and Andy Gurevich, three faculty members who have come together to create a brand new creative writing speaker series. It's happening as of January, I believe, was your first speaker. You mentioned... the speaker was
Sean Davis, subbing for Diana,
and Mark Russell,
yeah.
And next up, Pam Houston on Monday the 3rd at noon to 1, and the public is welcome and encouraged to come out. And the campus we just discussed, it is accessible by public transportation. You can take the MAX out and then one bus.
You can take the 20. You can catch the 20 on Burnside. It goes right to the front of the campus. You could take the MAX and then get on the 20 out at the Gresham Transit Center. Any of the buses that go to the Gresham Transit Center, then just get on the 20. It's about maybe 45 minutes total from downtown Portland to get out to Gresham, an easy bus ride. Take a book along. Take one of the books you're going to read. Grab Pam Houston's book for Monday.
Excellent.
Yeah. Say hi to somebody next to you, because chances are they're a faculty member or student at Mount Hood Community College.
You guys mentioned before the interview that there seems to be sort of a psychological barrier between Portland and Gresham, and a lot of people don't go between the two. And you've made some efforts to bring your students into Portland and, you know, dispel the myth of the big city or the hard road to climb. And it's really, we're not far apart.
I can't imagine a prettier drive than going into the Columbia Gorge to get out to Gresham. So, yeah, just witness the beauty as you drive out there. There's no traffic, really. You can get on 84 and just skate right out to exit 17. It's closer than you might think.
You know, this was something that occurred to me when I started at Mount Hood. I have some friends that work at Oregon Council for Humanities, and they have a real passion to bring the humanities but also explore the humanities, give voice to the humanities across the state, not just on the I-5 corridor, not just Portland, Eugene. And I thought, that's really cool. They go do events in Pendleton. They go to in the middle of the state, right? They go to the prisons. They go everywhere. And to represent the humanities across the lives of people, across the lives of humans in Oregon. And I thought, this is really great. I want to do a small model of this, but I want to be a part of doing this very thing in East County, because even though we're very close, it's a bedroom community to Portland. It almost seems like it's, you know, again, there's this wall between the two, where people in Portland don't come to East County because they don't think anything's going on. And sometimes our students, because they're busy, because they have transportation issues, because they're taking care of children or sick families, or because Portland is kind of intimidating and scary to them, because of class issues, they've been told that they're not necessarily welcome downtown. Mm-hmm. either actually told that or just given the impression. So there's this kind of barrier there, psychologically, emotionally. I've been looking at ways, we've been looking at ways to cross that barrier with using the humanities, and we've been trying to build some partnerships, have been building partnerships with organizations like Oregon Humanities. They do a great lunch and learn series out at the school that's been very successful. We've been in talks with Andrew Proctor at Literary Arts, and they love Pam. Everybody loves Pam Houston. And they're on board with her coming and are advertising that. They're going to be hopefully helping us with our spring series. And so, and both ways, they're perfectly helpful in helping us get the word out about our events, but have a lot of great programs to help us get students from Mount Hood down to their speaker series. We just missed the opportunity to take some of our students to see Sonia Sotomayor speak and actually get to meet her and go to kind of a cocktail party with her afterwards. If we had met in time, we would have been able to do that. But these are the kind of events that are going to be open for our students in the future through a partnership with Literary Arts. And I mean, we really needed to do was go ask. All we needed to do was take a meeting with them and sit down and make that happen. And so there's so much opportunity to create these partnerships that get our students into Portland. We were talking before about how many of our students have never even been inside the Schnitz, and that's a powerful thing. But also to get interest in East County, to let people know that this is a place where, you know, important events are going on in the humanities.
Thank you.
I feel like that was a very long answer.
No, it's wonderful. Thank you for what you're doing. I wondered if you guys wanted to speak to the potential student out there, the creative writer who's at home in the room alone. Mm-hmm. Anything you would like to share with them about what sort of classes or support you offer emerging writers, and any encouragement to check out Mount Hood Community College or any other community college in the area?
We have an incredibly cool and robust set of offerings at Mount Hood Community College in creative writing, fiction writing, nonfiction writing, poetry writing, screenplay writing, playwriting, and we also have a robust film program mm-hmm. where you can come learn about film as literature. Mm-hmm. And because so many of us started off at community colleges as students ourselves, we are the perfect people to help you join us. It's a little intimidating to think about stepping into those classrooms or that campus the way Andrew was describing, but we're standing right there, and I got my foot jammed in the door so it'll stay open, and I'm holding all the windows open on my shoulders because I will let anyone into any classroom, even if they can't pay yet. And if we need to build a bridge to getting you to being able to be enrolled, fine, we'll do that too. But any door of a classroom at Mount Hood is open to you already. And the thing to remember if you're scared is you already have it in you because you thought it up and you felt it in your heart. So it's not like we're going to give you something you don't ever already have. We're just going to look you in the eye and say, sorry to sound a little avatar, but I can see you and you're real. And please come do this with us because it's fun and worth doing in the world. That's the other thing we're very hyped up on communicating to everybody, is that the humanities are not an elective. That, you know, as budget cuts have happened over the last decade, humanities has slid to the side a little bit in some places, as if it's something, a luxury to take humanities classes. When you dropped the humanities classes to the side, you took the human out of education. And so we're trying to shove it back toward the center where it's supposed to be. So I'd say, I mean, mainly I'd say, just come, I'll help you.
And the campus itself is so welcoming, and it's easy to get around, and there's just one kind of unified set of buildings and classrooms, and the faculty are always have their door open. So it's a very warm and welcoming place, and you feel it immediately when you step onto campus, and it's a lovely campus too. So don't be scared.
We have a colleague, Scarlett Saavedra, who tells her writing students to write like they're on fire. And what I think she means by that, no one ever quite knows what Scarlett means, and I mean that as a compliment. But she, what I think she means is that write with immediacy. This is what our conference about embodied writing is ultimately about. And I think us students, a lot of the times, one of the first things and most important things they need from us is permission to be themselves, that level of acceptance they might not have gotten anywhere else. That alone starts to build that bridge Lydia's talking about, to let them know that what they have is valuable, what they have to offer is valuable, and that there are options for them in the world if they can imagine them. And I work with a group of people who teach like they're on fire. There's two of them sitting here. I've taken a lot of classes in Oregon and have been in a lot of different schools, and I can say without, again, any hesitation, this is one of the most diverse and committed faculties, not only this department, but I've taught in a few others at Mount Hood, of anywhere in the state. So it's really a little hidden gem out in East County. Mount Hood is an absolutely wonderful place with compassionate and extremely talented people.
Would you guys like to give the dates and speakers that are coming up this year one more time for everyone listening?
Absolutely. So we have coming up Monday, March 3rd, the wonderful Pam Houston will be speaking from 12 to 1 in the Visual Arts Theater. And then Tom Spanbauer is coming on April 9th from 1 to 2 o'clock in the Visual Arts Theater. Willie Vallotton will be coming on April 24th from noon to 1, again in the Visual Arts Theater. And then we have Kimberly Dark and Christopher Ryan. They'll be speaking on Friday, May 9th from 11:30 to 1 o'clock in the Visual Arts Theater. I'd just like to also say a special thank you to the college for funding these events. We're so thankful that Mount Hood feels that it's important to support writers and the arts in general. So big shout out to the college for funding the series.
And again, these speakers, these events are free and open to the public, as is parking. And you can take public transportation. You can take the MAX and then take the 20 bus directly to the campus. I can't have Lydia Yuknovich in the studio without getting the latest skinny on her. We understand Dora, a Head Case, your last novel, it has been optioned for a film. Any exciting updates about that or your next project?
Well, I'm stalking the writer-director on Facebook to see what she's doing. It's Catherine Brooks, and the film company is The Big Easy. And she seems pretty excited about learning about Freud and Ida Bauer, who I based the novel on. And she was really excited to read the book. And so that tells me she's weird enough and passionate enough. And she might even wear Doc Martens. And I don't know if it will come to pass, but it's very exciting to think of a piece of art you made being translated by another artist into another piece of art. That, to me, that's better than money or fame or anything, this continual collaboration on putting art in the world. So that's the piece I'm most excited about.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It does make me tinkle a little bit.
You'll have to come back to KVU and tell us all about it.
Okay.
Before the premiere, let's just say.
I'm trying to get her to write me into the film script. We're in talks with James Franco to play my character. She's not taking the bait.
So the resemblance.
Well, thank you for saying that.
You could be Freud. Yeah. Oh, dear. Something really good happens.
Only that were the first time I've heard that.
We've been speaking with Mount Hood Community College faculty members Lydia Yuknovich, Michelle Hampton, and Andy Gurevich. Thank you so much for being with us today. Your creative writing speaker series is amazing and a wonderful contribution to our community and your students. And again, Pam Houston is the next up, Monday, March 3rd, noon to 1 on the Gresham campus. Call the campus for details. Thank you so much, Lydia, Michelle, and Andy.
Well, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for helping us out.
Thanks to KVU for all you do.
And thank you for listening. Up next, thanks, Noontime everyone. Jamboree.
Yeah. And this KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Aladdin Theater, presenting The Musical Box, a Peter Gabriel authorized recreation of Genesis, Thursday, February 27th. Tickets and information for The Musical Box, February 27th at aladdin-theater.com.
With your KBOO Noon News headlines, I'm Jimmy Tardy. Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni has signed into law a bill which outlaws homosexuality, prescribing long prison terms in a country in which homosexuality is already illegal. Calling homosexuals prostitutes and mercenaries, Museveni signed the bill after strong objections from the U.S., the Netherlands, and Denmark and Norway. White Ugandan evangelic Christian ministers have fomented the hatred by continuously denouncing homosexuality as unnatural. Uganda's Minister for Ethics and Integrity said that homosexuality is contrary to the natural order and is therefore illegal, and that he could teach gay people to be straight. Colombia has dismissed the head of its military following recorded remarks he made about that country's judicial system and for suggesting a conspiracy to discredit government officials. General Leonardo Barrero was recorded during an investigation into corruption among senior military officials. The original corruption investigation stemmed from an investigation into extrajudicial killings by the military during the conflict with FARC guerrillas. Ukraine's former president Viktor Yanukovych is the subject of an arrest warrant for the killing of protesters during that country's very recent and successful revolution. Charged with mass murder, the orders were given soon after the Ukrainian parliament voted in the Speaker of Parliament as the acting president and voted to impeach Yanukovych. Yanukovych's whereabouts are unknown after he fled the capital of Kiev on Saturday. Also over the weekend, Yanukovych's key rival Yulia Tymoshenko was released from prison after the parliament invalidated a law that she had been convicted of in 2011. Following a weekend of violence in the capital city of Bangkok, Thailand, Thai Army Chief Prayut Chan-o-cha ruled out a military intervention. The ongoing protests, which have gridlocked parts of Bangkok, turned violent over the weekend with several police officers injured when a grenade exploded in front of them as they moved to seize territory held by protesters outside the temporary headquarters of the government. Thai Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawatra has fled the capital city. Chan-o-cha stated on TV that, quote, somebody has to take responsibility, but that doesn't mean soldiers can intervene without working under the framework of the law. He continued, how can we be sure that if we use soldiers, the situation will return to peace? Tune in every weekday at 5 p.m. for your volunteer-produced KBOO Evening News broadcast. For KBOO News, I'm Jimmy Tardy. This is KBOO Portland.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Noontime Jamboree on KBOO Portland. I'm Ali Starr. I am filling in for Wade Hockett, Mighty Hawk, today. And I am going to start the morning, or actually the afternoon, off with little Jim Campolongo. Here we go.